Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Bronya.
Hi, I'm Sammy, and welcome to the business of cake making.
Hi, and welcome to the second episode of the business of cake making. Today we're going right back to basics. We are talking about what is a business, how what you need to do to start your business, and even what is a business. So the first thing we're going to do is discuss what the difference between a business and a hobby is. Because a lot of people now on Facebook, how many times you see on Facebook groups people go, I'm just a hobby baker?
Yeah, all the time.
What even is that?
Yeah, the minute they start buying ingredients.
I'm just a hobby baker and I'm just selling this for the lady down the road.
Yeah.
The minute you're selling something down the road, whether you're just even cost of ingredients, anything at all, you're
definitely, if you're going to go on Facebook and put, I make cakes, it's a hobby, but I make them, do you want to buy them?
Yeah.
Then
you're not doing it as a hobby, you are running a business. Any of the Facebook selling sites, if you've got your own Facebook page, any of it, the minute you change, money changes hands, it's no longer a hobby. And it's not us saying that, it's the tax man saying that.
Yeah, that's very correct.
And also the council.
Yes, because you have to register your business so that you can make sure that you're not, get the EHO out,
the Environmental Health Officer. Or as we used to call him at the shop.
What did we used to call him?
What did we call him? We called him something like the health inspector.
Oh yeah.
Forty Towers style.
Yeah.
The health inspector's coming.
I can remember when he turned up at the shop and I went, we've been expecting you.
Because we knew exactly when he was coming.
Yes. And we were prepared.
We were prepared. Very clean shop. Yes. Yeah, we've always had a clean shop because we used to threaten the staff with the health inspector could turn up at any second.
Oh my gosh, yes, we did, didn't we? All the time. Yeah, I've forgotten about
that. Yeah, George, mop the floor, the health inspector could turn up tomorrow.
He did, and quite rightly too.
But registering your council is free though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's really easy. And the guy, he's so nice. I've not heard many people say that their EHO is horrible.
No.
He made me feel really comfortable. We came in, just sat, had a coffee, went through everything. It's very thorough at what he does, but he made you feel at ease.
Yeah. They're there to help you. They're really, that's what they want to do. They don't want your business. I think we've all seen those scary programs on the telly where they come into the kebab house and it's rat infested and they shut down. That's not what they want to do. They want to help you, don't they?
Yeah. And a cake baking business is actually classed as low risk.
Yeah, it's one of the lowest, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're not dealing with meats and things like that.
I think the scariest thing we've got is eggs.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
And you've got to make sure that they've got the British standard mark on them.
Yeah. So if you are registering your business with you've got to go to your local council, you need to go online, just fill out the form online. In fact, I filled out my form, but I couldn't send it online. I had to put it in the post.
Did you? Oh my goodness.
And then they will get in contact with you. But it's different in every council because quick and efficient, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or because is it Test Valley you're with?
Yeah.
And they came straight back. Whereas me, I had to post it, and I haven't heard. I've lived there since July.
So,
registered in July, and I haven't heard. But then when I lived there previously, it took 18 months to hear from someone. I think it depends how many other businesses they've got.
I suppose if they've got loads of people setting up, they're going to not have as much manpower.
Yeah.
I just emailed my guy.
Yeah, my mum over in the New Forest, I think we emailed hers, and she, as a home baker, because she's obviously got her kitchen done, she was inspected the first time, and then they just phoned up 3 years later and just double checked that she was still doing everything, and they didn't even inspect the next.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just did it on the phone.
Ah.
So they might do that with you.
Yeah.
Just do it over the phone.
Be nice.
Yeah, but at the shop, I mean, we had them coming in.
I have to fill in my form, my weekly sheet, saying that I've opened and checked everything, and then when I close I check everything.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, they're not scary, but you do have to have your paperwork up today.
Yeah, that is one thing.
Yeah. You could have the cleanest kitchen in the world,
but they're not going to believe you if you haven't got the paperwork to
They might just think you've just given it a good scrub.
Yeah.
For them.
So, yeah, they like to know, have you done your deep clean? Yeah. Have you done this? Have you done that?
Just make sure you're at your paper. And all that is online. It's not scary stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't use it. Any special paperwork, I've just printed out what they gave me.
Yeah.
They emailed me and I've printed what... you can go on the website though, can't you?
Yeah. Is it Better Business Practice or something like that? Or Better Food Business Practice?
Yeah. Or gov.uk
or it's the food... I'm trying to read your thing from over here. The Food Standard Agency, the FSA. If you go onto the FSA website... and there's a whole pack of paperwork. Most of it, I'd say probably 75% of it isn't applicable.
No.
Because it's for major catering, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So it's just really basic stuff, but it's a legal requirement. You must register with your local EHO.
And the next thing you must get is insurance, because in the unfortunate event that you have an accident or you poison one of your customers...
Although, have you ever known anyone to die of cake?
No. No, definitely not.
But you never know.
But you do need insurance, and it's really easy to get. You can just go through your, I think Direct Line do a really good...
Yeah, that's the one I've heard a lot of people talk. Just say that, it's not a legal requirement, it's just to cover your own arse, really, isn't it?
Definitely.
And also, but you were saying, like, we were talking off air earlier, and you were saying earlier that you've had... venues asking
for 5 million public liability insurance.
So if the venue gets sued, they can pass that suing over to you, and they want to know. And it's not hard. I personally at the moment, because you've got proper insurance, haven't you, because you've been...
I've only just done that, really. I was with another company, but I've just swapped and I prefer this new company. It was much easier to do. But there is also the British Sugar Guild insurance as well. But you can only earn up to...
Is it £7,000?
I want to say £7,000. And once you start earning over that, then you have to get a different type of insurance.
Yeah. But if you are a member of the British Sugarcraft Guild... Because not only do you get so you become a member of the British Sugarcraft Guild, so you get the possibility you can go to their meetings, you can get their...
It's brilliant. Yeah, they do courses. You get a little magazine once a month, and they do courses up and down the country that you can go along to. And I did some really good stuff. I learnt a lot.
Yeah. It's almost like the WI for Sugarcraft.
Oh, exactly. It's a perfect explanation of them.
But they do really, really good insurance. Excellent insurance.
Yeah.
Another thing that we think is essential that you have... Sammy hates it.
Yeah.
So.
It's social media. So you have Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest. There's the new TikTok that's coming out.
Yeah,
now.
Sammy has introduced me to TikTok just today.
It's brilliant. It's very addictive. But everybody says you need to post online every single day, which I find really difficult because... I don't want to have to go on social media every day, but everybody says you do. So I kind of dip in and out.
You can schedule. I mean, I would say if you're going to start as a local business, you start on Facebook.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, start on your Facebook. Start with your own friends and family.
Yeah,
and
it's like word of mouth as well. When people see you constantly putting up pictures of your cakes and everything... then it will stay in their mind. And if somebody asks, oh, do you know somebody who does cakes?
Yeah.
Then they can recommend you. And then that customer has got somewhere to come and look. And
they can see you're like an online portfolio then almost, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot on Instagram. I don't do so much on Facebook anymore, but I think that's because I'm moving into a slightly different market. I'm moving to a market where I know my ideal clients are based on Instagram and Pinterest.
Yeah.
And I'm less on Facebook, but I'd say for local, if you're just starting, definitely do a Facebook page. The only problem with Facebook and Instagram and everything though is you don't own it yourself. they change the algorithms all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So you have to keep on top of that.
Yeah.
And sometimes boosting an ad on Facebook doesn't necessarily get you the results that you want. You have to make sure you follow the right amount of hashtags. On Facebook, you wouldn't put more than 3. On Instagram, you'd put as many as up to 30 yeah. on Instagram.
Really? So three on Facebook?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, any more than that.
Every day's
and
school
it makes your algorithms go down so that your post isn't up there.
Okay.
And the course I went on, she was saying it's good on Facebook to put quirky, funny hashtags yeah. like hashtags I don't like posting on social media would be mine today.
So, and that's more likely to get a response on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Excellent. I mean, I think we'll need to do a whole episode on social media and yeah. different social medias.
That's
as much
really
as you love
idea.
Them. Yeah. But also, the other thing with Facebook and Instagram and any social media is because you don't own it, at any point they can whip it away from you. I've heard of businesses having their Facebook pages removed.
Really?
And them really fighting to have to get it back.
Oh my God.
So just be aware of that.
Oh, can you imagine how devastating
I
that
know,
would be?
Exactly.
All your hard work.
Yeah. All the years of yeah, and but that's kind of neatly moves us on to our next point is to try and have your own website because you own it.
And you can do on there. What you
yeah.
want to do.
And Facebook and Instagram aren't going to steal it from you.
No.
So, I mean, there's some quite good basic setups
Definitely.
Out there.
There's, what's the one that you...
We've got WordPress.
Yeah. I think that's a really popular yeah. one. I see that all the time,
yeah.
WordPress.
And I'm not good on tech, you know.
I think you do all right.
Yeah, but you know how much I hate technology.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I really hate technology. But... So I think there's another one. I want to say Wix. Is Wix another one?
Oh, that sounds quite familiar.
Yeah,
definitely.
But definitely have a website. Then you can link your Facebook and your Instagram to your website. You can on Pinterest. Pinterest is really good because you can claim your website. So anything that's pinned from your website will always go back to your website.
Which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
I only discovered that this week as well. So yeah.
Yeah.
I think definitely. Pinterest is very good.
Pinterest is excellent. We were talking about Pinterest a minute ago because Pinterest, you...
For somebody in the wedding industry,
yeah.
as I am, the bride can come along and she can rustle up her special pinned board of wedding cakes and away you go.
Yeah. And if you're on it, booty bonus.
It, yeah. Well, that's definitely. But when a bride comes in and says, I want a cake like this and it's one of your cakes, then it definitely is brilliant.
It's always a bonus. So other ways of promoting, because it's all very well sitting up and making cakes.
Mm.
And going, I'm a business.
You need to get out there and promote yourself.
Yeah, someone's got to find you.
I just thought of one, actually. It's go to all your local shops and put up a leaflet or a business card.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you will always look. When I go to the post office, they have a big, huge sign there that other businesses have put their stuff up on. And I quite often take a photo of whatever's up there
yeah.
so that when I come home, I can call them.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
I definitely... When you first start out, things like that are definitely really good.
And they're not expensive things to do. I mean, a lot of these things are free as well, aren't they? Community
yeah, definitely.
Things. I know, like local co-ops, I think you can put things up for free.
And the shop in down the road from me, I think they charged me 75 pence for 3 weeks to put a card up.
25p a week.
Yeah. I mean, that is good value.
That's investment.
Yeah.
That's good investment.
Definitely. Or you can go down. I personally don't think... The magazines worked for me.
No, I've done I think print is sadly really on its way out.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely social media
yeah.
you can use. Because you can, if say something's happening, you're doing a wedding fair or you're having an event happening, you can create that event on Facebook. And even if somebody says they're interested in it, it will continue to pop up in their feed as a reminder.
Yeah.
Which I can't go wrong with.
But also sharing it all to your own friends and family as well. Don't forget
yeah.
the power of your own friends and family.
Definitely. And getting people to like your page. as well. It's quite important.
Because they'll see things and they'll just share it as well. And the other thing is that if you've got school fairs, I mean, if you've got kids and you've got school fairs and things coming up, I mean, I don't have kids, but I live next door but one to a school. And I did their Christmas fair and I'm going to do their summer fair. And I think it's £15 that goes to the school fund plus a raffle ticket or something. Yeah. And although I'm not there to make vast amounts of money, I always cover my costs and I probably do a little bit extra as well. But take flyers along, take portfolio.
Or take a sample of your work.
Yes.
So with me, I would take my wedding cake dummies along with me.
The Christmas one, I took my like little cyber dog along with me.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's beginning to fade a little bit now. Never mind. Oh. But yeah, so take something along that you've done, like Sam said, just a dummy of something that you've done. And make sure you have your contact details there.
Because not only does it look good, it's a talking point as well. Mm-hmm. That will everybody will go, wow, I love your wedding cake, it looks amazing. And then you can engage and they'll go, oh, my friend's getting married next year. And you can say, oh, we'll take a flyer. And, you know, you just go from there. It's very simple to do.
You just need to get a little bit creative sometimes. But, I mean, that's the fairs and markets and summer fairs. There should be loads of Easter fairs coming up soon.
Yeah,
as well.
Definitely.
Easter fairs, summer fairs.
Christmas fairs as well. School Christmas fairs. Definitely. Yeah.
Don't necessarily see them that you're going to be earning shed loads of cash from them.
No.
Because by the time you've actually spent a day baking and then spent a day at the fair, your hourly cost is pretty low. But definitely see it as a way of promotion. And also, it gets the cake in people's mouths.
Yeah, that's right. If they're going to taste it, they're going to think, yum, yum. Going back there again. Because our cakes are amazing.
Our cakes are amazing.
Yes.
Definitely. Right, so getting out and marketing yourself is a big thing because customers are Without customers, you haven't got a business.
No.
Right, now, Sammy, the one that you've got on there that on our list that is quite interesting, that I've never had this problem, mainly because I've only just moved into my house. I probably did introduce myself and tell everyone what I did.
Yeah.
But because you've been living here a little longer, it was different for you.
Yeah, I've lived here for 18 years, I think. And I felt I needed to speak to my neighbours, as a couple of them are hands-on neighbours. They like to know what's going on.
Busybodies!
Yes.
Are they curtain twitchers?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I didn't want them to have the opportunity to say, well, we don't like what you're doing. So I just went and knocked on their doors. And quite often I give them tasters as well. If I've got cake...
Bribery.
I'll knock on their door and say, oh, I've got cake left over. I mean, obviously, the one particular person that I would want to smooth talk doesn't really like cake.
Oh, God,
and he
tells
me not to bring it over. But, yeah, no, I spoke to all of my neighbours and they were amazing. They were like, oh, no, that's fine. Because I was worried, because I have brides and coming to for their wedding consultations, and I also have customers coming to pick their cakes up.
Yeah.
So I thought I ought to check.
If you've suddenly got people knocking, sort of like pulling up outside your house of an evening. Actually, going on to that, though, just to be aware, if you are running a business and you are going to have people come to your house, not necessarily with people collecting, I think collecting's not quite so bad, but if you're actually going to have consultations and you're having people coming into your home, just check with your home insurance that's covered on your home insurance and that your business insurance, your public liability, covers it on your business insurance rather than your home insurance.
Yeah, because there's the two separate parts, isn't it? Oh, and to make sure as well, I just thought of this one,
your car insurance.
Business insurance.
If you suddenly break down or have an accident and you're doing business.
Yeah, that will affect the insurance.
Yes. Yeah. To be honest, I mean, I've got business insurance on my car insurance. It doesn't cost any more.
No.
But you just need to inform them.
Yeah. Mine hasn't. It didn't cost any more either. They just like to know, don't they?
Yeah, because if they can have a get-out clause of not paying up for something,
they will.
They'll have a get-out clause.
Definitely.
Also, just if you have got another job, or if you're doing this... sorry, my computer keeps blimping. I do apologise. You need to register. If you're earning money, you need to tell the tax man that you're earning money.
Yeah.
So that this, again, is a legal requirement, like the health inspector. a legal requirement, you do have to register either as self-employed or that you're earning extra money on top of your salary.
That, and again, that was relatively easy to do. Yeah. They're just super secure on the passwords and making sure that you are who you are and that you're not, you know,
yeah,
Joe Bloggs coming along and trying to get someone else's information. So you have to, you have your, is it a self-assessment code?
Yes.
And your ID and your password. And one comes through the post, I think, or via email. I can't remember now because it's about 3 years ago since I did it. But yeah, but once it's done, it's done. And,
yeah.
And you're sorted.
It's like the health inspector. Once it's done, they've got you on your books. Unless you move. If you move, you have to change
yeah,
it and everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. We didn't mention that. If you move, you just give them a call.
Yeah.
And they choose to come. Oh, I think you did talk about
because we had the shop. And obviously when I had the shop, I moved back to a home environment in the same area because we were all in Test Valley then. And so the same guy that came to visit us at the shop came to see me at home, but now I've moved to a different area. I've had to actually instruct a different council that we've done it, which is a big thing. Well, it's just essential.
Yeah, make sure.
Yeah,
do all the red tape.
Yeah. And with all of this, what this does is this means you are a business, and if you are a business, it means that
everything can run smoothly.
Yeah, and you're not going to get caught, and you're not going to get people moaning at
you.
Yeah,
that's that. At the end of the day, that's what you have to think about. You don't want somebody going, "Oh, you haven't done this," because then you're going to create more stress for yourself, which you don't want. You want everything to be tickety boo, smooth.
You're covering your own backside. You know that you're legal. You know you're doing it right, and that's the
definitely
best thing.
Hooray!
Right, so thank you for listening today. We hope that's some insight of our ramblings.
Very interesting ramblings.
Very interesting ramblings. We're getting good. Next podcast, we will have something probably a little bit less dry to talk about, hopefully, because this is all a little bit.
What, we're going to talk about cake?
Yeah.
Moist cake.
Moist. And on that note, we're going to leave you.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Business of Cake Making. If you would like to hear more of us, please hit subscribe on wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you think someone else should listen to us, then please share or review. That way we get seen by a lot more people. You're more than welcome to follow us. We have an Instagram account at The Business of Cake Making, where we'll be updating regularly on what our new episodes and everything will be. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you soon.